Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Let me say a prayer and we'll get started on the sermon. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our Redeemer. May these words be your words through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It is Mother's Day, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to the mothers that are here, as well as our own mothers. My mother's passed away, but I still say happy Mother's Day to her each Mother's Day in remembrance and in honor of her. You may not know this, but the first Mother's Day was started by a Methodist church. There were unsuccessful attempts to try to get some kind of recognition of mothers that go back to the 19th century. But it was a woman named Anna Jarvis who succeeded in nationalizing Mother's Day in 1908. And so at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in West Virginia, as well as the department store of John Wannabe, John Wannamaker, there was a celebration at the church and then one at the department store that afternoon that was on the square in the town. The celebration and recognition of Mother's Day began. It caught hold, it gained momentum, and then in 1914, President Roosevelt made the second Sunday in May a national holiday. Now, it's interesting to note that Jarvis, after Mother's Day began to be commercialized, actually worked to have the date removed from the national calendar. Her vision for Mother's Day was for it to be a time for sons and daughters to join with their mothers, for it to be a quiet day, a day of just getting together and recognizing the gift of what we have been given as sons and daughters. And she was appalled at the commercialization of Mother's Day. She was appalled that it had become a cash cow for greeting cards and flower companies. And so she worked until her death in 1948 to try to remove it from the calendar and to give it the emphasis that she felt like that it really needed and what was her original vision. But here's what I believe. You know, whether it's commercialized or not, the value of Mother's Day and celebrating Mother's Day in the church is that it is a means and a way for us to celebrate family, to celebrate our spiritual heritage of who we are as not only brothers and sisters within a biological family, but of brothers and sisters within a spiritual family. We are family. We are connected through Jesus Christ. We are connected by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And so that spiritual blood runs within each of us and joins us together as brothers and as sisters, as family. And I think that's important today as we rely and depend upon each other, because there are more threats to the church today than in any other time in my life. Whether you want to look at COVID or whether you want to look at how the media views the church or the division within the church, and I'm not just talking about our United Methodist Church, but I'm talking about churches across the nation. There just seems to be a constant angst and division that has gripped the church that is tearing it apart. I think of the words from the book Screwtape Letters, where Screwtape the devil was talking to his protege, and the protege said to him, you know, what's going to be your next attack on the church? And he says, oh, no, I'm not going to directly attack the church. He says, I want to get them arguing with each other. They'll do more damage against each other than I can ever do against them. In fact, if I were attacked a church directly, it would unite the church. And frankly, that's what we need today. We need to be united in our faith. We need to be united in who we are as brothers and as sisters in Christ. We need to be united as the people of God and quit doing the work of the devil in attacking each other and attacking the direction of the church, but rather to keep ever before us the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in spite of all that, I believe that revival is coming. I believe it with all of my heart that God is getting ready to do a great thing through the church. And I believe that churches like Stonebridge United Methodist Church will be at the heart of this revival. There's some point to the mega churches, and they talk about how exciting they are. But in most cases, a mega church is just a destination, a place to go, a place to be seen. It is those churches that invest themselves in the community that are not just a destination on Sunday morning, but a place to truly belong and be involved in, a place to live out our faith with each other. That will be the heart of the 21st century revival. Churches that are more concerned about reaching those outside the church than keeping those within the church satisfied. Churches that put an emphasis on the faithful and willing servants. Churches that are led by those that are on fire with the power of God to act with God's divine love. Churches that are raising up the next generation that will raise their sails of ministry into the fresh and coming winds of the Holy Spirit. That is what's coming. I truly believe that. And so with that kind of as our background, I want to speak to the heritage that we receive through Jesus Christ. I said this to the confirmation group that joined the church this morning, that you have a place in God's heart, all of us, that God has prepared a purpose from before we were born for our lives. And God has a plan of how that purpose will be achieved for each one of us. A place, a purpose, a plan. A place in God's heart, an eternal purpose that's been prepared for us, and a plan to make that purpose a reality. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. What is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And there's similar passages throughout the New Testament and in the Old Testament that to God, we are valued. God made us. God loves us. And God is always with us. Over the years, the most common question I get from young people preparing to make a full commitment to Jesus Christ is, does God really know me? And that's a good question. I mean, I think all of us at one time or another have asked, does God really know me? I mean, of the billions of people that are in this world today and the billions of people that are before, does God really know me? And the associated question, which may be more important, is, does my life matter to God? I think the answer is yes. Does God care about us? Yes. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And that's not all. God has something in mind for us. God is calling us to do something very special with our lives and to do something that will honor God and glorify God in some kind of very special way. And I wonder maybe in this very moment, in this place, that we might hear that call deep within our hearts and be willing to say yes to God for the rest of our lives. God does know us. God does care about us. We have a place in God's heart. In Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, at the very beginning, in verse 5 of chapter 1, before God says this, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. God made each of us with a prophet. For Jeremiah, he had made him to be a prophet. For all of us, there may be a different purpose for our lives. And that is not to say that that he made us to be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or a salesperson or whatever else. That is our means of making a living. The purpose that God has put upon our lives is, how do we live out our faith? What is the influence that we have upon our children, upon our families, upon our community, upon our friends, upon the organizations that we are involved in? What is the purpose that God has for us? God tells Jeremiah through these words, and each one of us, I believe, that from the very beginning in the womb, when we were just but a clump of cells, God has made us and brought us into this world for a specific reason, for a purpose. It might not be clear at this moment. It may be we may spend a lifetime finding that purpose for our lives. But God has a purpose. And even though we may not know that purpose, God is fulfilling that purpose with every step and with every day that we live. Every step we take, every day we live. And so are we willing to say, I'm not here in this world just to be my own. I'm not here to be whoever and whatever I want in order to please myself. I'm here to be what you want, God, to be whom you created me to be. And this morning I want to say to you, God, I want to be yours for the rest of my life, wholly and completely. And today, I give myself to you. Are we willing to do that? Bottom line, that's the commitment we made at our baptism. Be wholly and completely in God's hands, in God's direction, in God's purpose. Are we prepared and ready to say to the Lord, and really mean it, I want to be yours for the rest of my life, wholly, completely, and today, Lord, I give myself to you. Later on in Jeremiah, in chapter 29, one of the most well-known passages in the book of Jeremiah, and one that gets quoted a lot, is Jeremiah 29:11. And I'm going to include in that 12 and 13. This is a different translation that was read for you earlier. It goes like this. I know what I am doing, says the Lord. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call upon me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure that you won't be disappointed. Now, this passage is an interesting passage because the passage is addressed to the Hebrew people of the 6th century B.C., okay? And they, just before this, Israel had been defeated by the Babylonians. And many, not all, but most of the people had been carried off into captivity, as was the Babylonians' practice when they conquered a nation. They would carry the people back as slaves. And in Babylonia, the people were crying out, and they were trying to get a message to Jeremiah, who had been left behind in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem had been devastated. It had been completely destroyed. And the message for them was, you know, where is God in this? What is God going to do about this? Why has God let this happen to us? And this is the answer that Jeremiah gives them, a letter from God, a reassurance that in spite of the way things look, that God has a plan. God has a plan for us. And that plan, though we may not be able to fully realize it, has been in the works for a long time. God is out in the future preparing tomorrow and next week and next month and next year for us, working and molding. And that's what he's saying. He says, I have not have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future with hope. Now, the Hebrews had to stay in Babylon for a little longer. It was not all good news. But they did return home and reestablish the kingdom of Israel and the nation of Israel. God was true to God's promises. God was true to the promises that He'd made to this people. And God is true to us. Jeremiah 29:11 is written for us, even though it's not written to us. It was written to a people 8,000 years ago. And yet, the message in Jeremiah 29:11 is the same message that comes to us. I have plans for you. Not plans for evil, not plans for destruction, but plans for good. And not only that, but when you pray to me, you will find me. I will be there for you. Now, I do want to be clear about this promise. It is not a promise of a life with no worries. It's a promise that within the life of worries, within the life of problems, within this world that is rife with conflict, that God is with us. And that we can have faith in God, that God will bring us through. And God will never abandon us. Even in dark days and difficult situations, we can have hope that God is always there for us. God is always there so we can trust God's plan. For God has in mind what is best for us, even when it doesn't make sense. For God can see things that we cannot see. God is orchestrating a story that we are not yet privy to. And one day it will all be revealed to us, and we will see the larger picture. It is to live life like stepping into the darkness. Just imagine for a moment. Okay, it's completely dark, and I don't know what's in front of me. But I, with faith, know that God is with me. And so I'm going to step, knowing that through Jesus Christ my Lord, that I will either find solid ground or wings to fly. Let me leave you with this final word. God will not let us go. God will not let us go. Several years ago, my daughter was 6 years old at the time. And we were taking a hike, and I just kind of wanted to introduce her to the outdoors. And so we were making it down this trail, and she was having a little trouble navigating. There had been a storm the night before, or the week before, and there were branches that were across the trail, and rocks had been disturbed, and so she was having a little trouble keeping her balance. And she says to me, she said, Daddy, hold my hand so I won't fall. And I thought for a moment, I wanted my daughter to be independent. And I said, well, honey, if you need to, hold my hand. And she said to me, she said, Daddy, I'm not always strong enough to hang on to your hand. But I know that you will always be strong enough to hang on to me. Please, Daddy, hold my hand. God cares about us. And so as I close, I just simply say, Lord, hold my hand. Daddy, Father, God, hold my hand. I'm not always strong enough to hold on to you, God, but I know that you are strong enough to hold on to me. Hold my hand.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.